Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-word. Tonight, I got a special guest co-host, Mr. Najeev Hogan, who's been on the show before, and he's kindly decided to come back and help me co-host here. So if you want to holler at me and Najeev, please give us a call, 646-929-2037 is the call-in number. Once again, 646-929-2037 is the call-in number. Got any questions, comments, concerns, email me, dick@smoothdrama.com. I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, tag, my yearbook, you name it, I'm there. On Twitter, you can add me, Smooth Drama. Well, follow me, Smooth Drama, I'll follow you back. And everywhere else, Facebook, tag, I'm Dick Hugger. Hit me up, add me, I add you back. On that note, what's going on with you, Najeev?
Man, just doing it.
All right, I know you saw this. I was so disappointed. I wasn't shocked, though. Old Mr. Wiener decided to resign.
I guess he didn't live up to his name, huh?
Yeah. Well, I guess he did, actually. He's being a wiener about it instead of, like, fuck it, I ain't resigning. I don't care.
Yeah, so he, I guess he wasn't really pimping. He couldn't get them all in the same room. Instead, he had to take pictures of his, instead of just sitting them all, having a team meeting about it, you know.
Well, I still don't understand why people mad, but I done been over it. I'm tired of going over it. It's, you know, the only person supposed to be mad is his wife. Everybody else, it don't matter. If he ain't mess up on the bills or anything like that, he doing his job, whatever. But
yeah, and realistically, how did they know that was pictures of him? You know, it could have been a neighbor or something. Who knows?
Well, he admitted to it. At first, he said it wasn't him, but he admitted to it. And
he's snitching on himself, huh?
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't that smart, obviously. These dudes still don't understand when you put that stuff out in the digital world. And, you know, especially your congressperson that folks can set you up, obviously.
A representative of the public, you should kind of not really even have a private, you no longer have a private life.
Right. That, oh well. Speaking of private life, man, what's going on with you? What's been happening with you lately? We ain't hollered at you in a minute.
Man, I got to say this. Today was an interesting afternoon. Okay. I finished my workout and decided to do rollerblade around the block for cardio to wind down, right?
Right.
I get to a traffic light, and this rather large black girl with her little crew decided that she was going to say something.
Right.
I'm coming up behind her. I already seen, you know, I already got 15, 20 things I can say about her, but I'm out of my own business. So, okay. Leave it alone. Don't make a scene. So she come out of her mouth chewing hot Cheetos and drinking her Sunkist, talking about what kind of cornball shit is this that a black man in this world is rollerblading?
Really?
I said, oh, you want to go there, huh? Okay. So wait, well, let me tell you something, Rasputia. By the time you turn 35, you're probably going to die of high blood pressure and heart disease. So you better might as well get you a casket that's going to fit a hip with your big ass. Because, you know, when I came up behind you, not only some women's legs rub, that's okay. But when the legs all the way down to the kneecaps are rubbing, that's a little much.
Mm.
You know, and then you got food stains on the front of your shirt, like you done wiped your hand on you after eating a burger or something. And then I'm 6 feet away from you, and breath is like 2-week-old pork fried rice. You know what I mean? I mean, just hot garbage just went.
I'm still stuck on the whole. You, a black man can't rollerblade.
No, it's just, for whatever reason, I don't understand. Maybe it's just certain pockets of the U.S., but some black people believe that it's borderline gay
for a man,
whether black or not, to be rollerblading. It's gay, I guess. That's, I don't know where they get it from, but that's what they think.
Hold on, but if I'm not mistaken, rollerblades are just new and improved skates, roller skates.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, and we grew up roller skating every.
Grew up at the rink with the disco ball and all that.
Right.
With the roller derby and in the hood and you know the tournaments and all that. I mean, male and female.
Right. But you know, I think one that's hilarious and two kind of infuriating the fact that it's like okay, so what are you supposed to be doing?
Am I supposed to be on a bike? Is that more manly to be on a BMX bike or a mountain bike or something? And you know, if I get on a road bike, I'm gonna be feminine too because it's with the tight shorts and the funny looking helmet.
Yeah, I mean, I've just got a 12-speed. I don't know about BMX bikes, and I don't wear tight as too much for me. I don't know anybody else, but that whole I'm gonna bust out in some tights, nah. Not happening.
I kind of let the spandex go. Kind of keep that. That's somebody else's jail deal. They can rock that.
Yeah. That's kind of funny. And in your description, it sounds like she probably could use a little cardio. But
she need to walk a little faster. Maybe she could just lean forward and let the rest take over, and then she'll help to them legs.
Hey, come on, man.
You eating junk food and you walking, so it's like a contradiction.
Well, she had to walk to get the junk food, man. I think that was the point.
But the funniest part about it is when I called her out, and as I'm rolling away, you know, her little entourage was laughing at her a little bit. So that was kind of, you know, enlightening that maybe she is doing some shit she probably shouldn't be doing.
Well, I just think, you know, one, the whole there's a something that we supposed to be doing. I don't know what that means. You know, like people always talk about, you know, you don't act black. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, what is exactly acting, quote-unquote, black? What does that consist of?
And that consists of me with the gold teeth, and I'm spitting on people when I talk, and I make sure that, anyway, we ain't going to go there. I got to talk stupid to talk black. Anyway, we going to move on to something a little bit more informational. I saw this. I couldn't believe it. Up in New York, another reason for me not to go to New York. I ain't trying to hate on your hometown or nothing. But lap dances are taxable in New York court rules.
I'm a little interested about that. And
there was this one place they had they got 125,000+ interest tax bill on lap dances.
Dang.
And that's from a 2005 audit. So you think if that's 2005, what 2006 through 2011 going to bring?
It's probably going to be another half a mil, I guess.
Yeah, because what the ruling was that getting a lap dance was the same as what they're saying, that it isn't the same as taking in a ballet.
Mm.
You know, because they're saying that it's not a state tax exemption as dramatic or musical arts performances.
Right, because apparently the strip club felt that their dances were a dramatic or musical arts performance, and that should have exempted them from having to pay the tax on income, if I recall from what
right.
the Wall Street
right.
Journal was quoting.
Exactly. Now, to me, I don't see too much of a difference. I mean, in ballet, they got the little tutu on and the tights, and they dance. The only difference is they're not dancing on you.
Yeah, but they're still dancing for you.
Right. Right.
You know, I mean, and it's on a stage, and, you know, some strip club got a stage that you sit back and look at, you know, and you got to pay to get in,
right.
like you going to ballet.
Right.
You know.
That's the whole point. I mean, we debate the issue, and they're saying that it's not the same, but the basic difference is the people at the ballet who are scantily dressed don't take off the rest of their clothes. That's the only difference. There's music. It may not be music that, quote-unquote, ballet people would consider good or agreeable to their standards, but it's still dancing to music. It's still performing for a crowd. Whether you agree with the crowd and the performance, it's all the same. I mean, I find ballet boring as fuck. And the music will put my ass to sleep. I've been to a couple ballets. We went field trips to school, and I can't remember not having a crook in my neck, being bored out of my goddamn mind.
Yeah, it's definitely a niche. It's a niche market for that. I mean, like similar to the opera. I mean, opera is a little bit more formal, but it's the same concept. You're paying to go see somebody sing and dance, or you know, I mean,
pretty much.
And that's only a strip club, but I mean, you know.
Well, the only difference is the people keep their clothes on. That's the only difference, and whether or not you like the music or not. I know what what they're trying to say. They're trying to say was lewd acts that are being performed, but technically it's not. A lap dance is a performance. It's a
right.
close personal performance, but it's a performance nonetheless, if we want to be technical. Ballet is just more interpersonal because you're watching it.
I guess this is one of those arguments to want to be in the South then, because in the South it's open season, you know. I've heard of truckers going to Texas clubs and thumbing bitches in the ass, you know, just for $10 a pop, you know. And so I guess it's a matter of what you're looking for.
Right. Well, and I mean, to each their own. I mean, I could care less either way if dudes want to go hang out in the strip club and get lap dances, whatnot. Hey, more power to you. Bothers me.
So the new question, if there is a Chippendales type of facility in New York, do the men get taxed for dancing for these women? That's what we haven't talked about yet.
Well, I mean, but when you talk about that, now we know there are a lot of strip clubs for women. And it's basically the same thing. I mean, now, do they fall under this act? Are they going to be taxed?
Yeah, that'll be an interesting light to see.
I mean, and then if these taxes are being put on the businesses, do they pass that on to the consumer, or do they close up shop? I mean, I don't think there's any business that can take $125,000 in taxes every damn year. That's a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on how popular the club is, you know, because, for example, you got places in Vegas where, perfectly, there's a place called Jaguar. They have 200 girls nightly in Vegas, and after the women have paid the house off, they're still pulling home $80,000 a year. Now, they have to give up 80% of their income. And if they're giving up 80% of their income and still making $80,000 a year, now, Vegas, they obviously got it in Vegas, but I don't know about New York. You know, New York is more liberal. They got a lot more restrictions on things, so I don't know.
I don't know, but I need to be a Vegas dancer. Then if I give up 80% of my income and still come out with 80,000.
Yeah, that's on the lower end. I mean, there's women that drive from California just to go work at the Bunny Ranch to make $6,000-$7,000 a night, and then they go back home, work one or two nights a week, going up in luxury cars, and just straight up.
It seems like we're going to have to do some investigative a documentary somehow. There's a documentary in here somewhere. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, given the cost of what, you know, these people are paying for lap dances and all that stuff, it just makes Thailand look that much better.
Yeah. On that note, we go on our first break. This is De La Soul 1.
The only way that you're going to get it is to go out there and get it. You know what I'm saying? It's like sometimes you got to just put it all in best of form. You ain't going to get it any other way, you know. For me, it's about being better than I was yesterday, you know. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of losing. So I'ma bet it all, you know what I'm saying?
All hell to the check, 1-2. You can catch 1-2 at a theater near. Where you find me supporting rap like a Brazier. Not saying if the game is pissed, but you gotta admit that the soul be the holders of the mic device too. Rhymes filled with blood and guts. The game filled with bolts and nuts. Them shit's rusty and the trusty MC got the W4. You can find me up in the W-more. I'm back on the juice with them heavy old Chevy rhymes missing like crime on the deuce. We don't really vote to fish. We sit in studios and quote words to serve on a dish. And the nerve that you wish you had, I got bags of and drag the drugs that only make it worse when you're high listening to the Y on the first name Wonder. So don't underestimate what we create. And you never find us pulling up the clubs in them long stretch wells. We're pushing inside girls that don't become stretch pails. And when all else fails, we hit them with the charm that reflects like monkeys on the arm. And even if crowded like food courts, we own home court advantage, so we never feel alone.
Stay sick, y'all. Put your rap on pause. More milk on the mic than impregnate bras. 9 times out the dime, it's a penny on the floor. Same penny you walk around and you ignore. See, I'm the penny that'll have the deal closed. Turn that .99 into 1.0. At millisecond, you'll be needing in the race. That photo finish, I ain't even see your face. I'm that 1 degree that made the pizza lean. One goal, one job, one aim, and one team. That one good push that gave birth to your dream. That one good year, that one good beer. So you can hit the lotto with hope and a buck. But with 99 cents, your ass is out of luck. Once upon a time, if not once, it ain't happened. One pop in the air does not mean you clapping. One rap hit does not mean you be rapping. Although you bust rhymes, you ain't kill it one time. Never was to be in the first, just the second one. If you don't find me with Mike, a Mike checking one. One good pinch and one good hunch. That's just one bad apple out the New York bunch. Got ones, but I want 2s, 3s, and 4s. I'm that one when you got one more. One.
Together you got Drama. Smooth Drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was De La Soul 1. Oh, speaking of 1, I got to ask you, man. You know, we talked about earlier relationships, whatnot. If those of you don't know, tonight my guest host is Mr. Najib Hogan. Najib.
Yes, sir.
Talk about relationships. I want you to delve in some of the contradictions. I know we were talking earlier. Bring some of this stuff out. I think we can have a nice little conversation.
Yeah, Mike, I've got some issues. You know, for example, there are a lot of women that are on the internet who blog and chat and do their thing and typically like to complain about something, but then for whatever reason, the problem that they're complaining about never gets solved.
Well, I mean, we know the internet is the home of complaining. Everybody tough on the net. Everybody can say, I mean, it's real easy to be anonymous and say what the hell you want, when the hell you want, how you want, because there's no repercussions. So I don't think they're even looking for solutions. Solutions is not even,
they just want to get something out, no matter what it is, whether it's solid water or not, let's just get it out.
Right. Exactly. Well, I mean, you know, that's pretty much, I mean, the internet is about causing, socially, is about causing a lot of irritation. You know, as we see it, being part of any social network, you can see people who live their life out on the net. You know, I always crack up off of this, like, really?
Some people, they have to tie off and get their Facebook on.
It's horrible. Actually, and it doesn't matter, Facebook, tag, yearbook, people play
all of them. Uwu is live video, all of it, you know.
I wanted to ask you that. Why do you think people feel the need? I mean, I know they talk about suicide is a cry for help. Do you think that these internet postings and whatnot is a form of cry for help on the internet?
It might be, because it's a lot cheaper than going to see a therapist.
Yeah, it is, but I don't think that you can find any real solution. Can you get therapy online?
You probably can. I mean, I would imagine you have to know people who are rather, I would assume to say, more educated than you are, to maybe give you an unbiased approach to a different approach to your problem, and maybe you can develop a solution possibly before jumping off a bridge.
But you know what? I have a problem with that whole educated thing. You know, because,
well, that's a subjective term. I mean, you know, how or what does your education consist of? Street knowledge, book knowledge, both, none? I mean,
yeah, I just think that when we talk about educated, you know, you're talking about people who memorize stuff. That doesn't necessarily make them smart or an expert on something. I mean, for me, an expert is someone who has lived through some things, not somebody who has read about what other people have lived through, and then they can form their quote-unquote expert analysis.
Right, your experience has a lot to do with your mindset.
Well, I mean, and that's what we talk about. That's why I asked you, you know, you think that the cry for help, because when we talk about relationships, you know, some people think that it's, when you talk relationships, you're saying man, woman, whatever, and how people relate. I mean, but I think relationship is how people relate across the board in general.
Yeah, period. I mean, whether you're at the job, whether you're at your local supermarket talking to your cashier, your bank that you go through, I mean, relationship is everywhere. I mean, with your kids, you know, how do you treat your kids? I mean, it's. I think people just tend to narrow in on the love, on the mingling portion of it.
Which is what, 5% of your life, you know, the mingling part.
Depending on how much work you're putting into it, you know, because that's the other thing. A lot of people don't put in work, and then they want to complain about when it don't work. Well, shit. They're living off of that 50-50 mindset, and in my opinion, it should be 100-100, like you're playing poker all in. Because when you go to your job, did you ask for 50% pay?
Not for 50% work.
Do you put in 50% when you go to work? I mean, yeah.
Well, some people do.
Well, yeah. We won't say names like Walmart.
I think, nah, that goes across the board. It doesn't really matter. But I think when you talk, like, in relationships, when you made that point, you know, people putting in 50-50 instead of 100-100 and being all in, I think that's something that plays itself out when we talk about, you know, everybody talks about how we have problems in relations with men and women in the mingling part, as you say. There's contradiction. There's one contradiction in particular we were talking about earlier. When you were talking about Stella getting her groove back.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, so doing research for my book, Hood Therapy, that's going to be coming out shortly here, I discovered something that was rather interesting when doing my research on my first chapter, which I'll say is All Vaginas Have a Cost. So in that research, I'm like, okay, well, let's see what the cost really is, depending on what country you're in, right? So I started looking up stuff on the internet. And the funniest thing that I came up with is that for men to purchase sex from women, regardless of what country it is, it's considered prostitution. And in 90% of all countries globally, it is either legalized, regulated, or tolerated, or a mixture of all three. However, when women, specifically American, Canadian, and Western European white women, go to Jamaica and pay for sex, it's called romance tourism. Now, if you are a black woman or a woman with dark hair, you're called a Stella. Now, obviously, we remember the movie How Stella Got Her Groove Back.
Right.
The whole Stella mindset is coming from anyone who is dark or with dark hair going to Jamaica to buy sex from the 18-year-old Jamaican men that line up at the airport looking to see what flights are coming in.
Now we be specific here. Now, when you talk about paying for it, now, I know you brought up the cost of the vagina. Now break down, what is the cost of the vagina?
Depends on your situation. It could be monetary, it could be time, it could be, taking her mother-in-law down the street, and you got to hear about a sick cat. I mean, we could spend hours on that one.
Yeah. Now,
doing all of this stuff to get in that vagina, we doing all this extra stuff for her as side jobs, which is pushing us away from it, so that we can kind of sneak our way back in to get it, because that's what we really want. But see, some men aren't brave enough to say up front, I just want to get it. So they got to lie about it or make up something and make it sound romantic enough for a woman to be okay with giving up the vagina.
Okay. So now if we flip it and we talk about this romantic interlude, what you call it, the
romantic tourism?
Yeah, romantic tourism. So basically, a woman who spends time with these roaming gentlemen on the beaches, at the airport, whatnot, you consider that prostitution? I mean,
if you're buying some sex, I mean, it should be prostitution either way.
Yeah, I mean, but see, now when you say, because there'll be some arguments saying, okay, buying some sex. I had lunch or dinner with a young man. We spent some time, went to the club, whatnot. Would that be romantic tourism under your definition?
That depends on who's paying for the evening. If the woman is paying for the dinner, paying to get into the club, paying for the hotel room, then I would still consider that. You're still buying it.
All right. So conversely, we're guys. We go down. We go on vacation anywhere. We hook up with someone. We go back to the hotel, whatnot. Would that constitute as the prostitution?
It goes back to who's paying for the hotel? Who's paying for the night?
Well, you know, under your definition, basically anything where the people hook up, it's basically prostitution, depending on who has the hotel room. It's not just.
Now, let's say you have a hotel room on vacation, but you go to their place, then you haven't, you know, and then I would say it becomes a more of a gray area. Then it's more of like consensual, I guess, at that point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, now don't get me wrong. We know that, especially when we specifically talk about the islands, whatnot, like you said, the romantic tourism, the islands. I mean, most people go with that in mind to find that guy. I mean,
And actually, you know, when I found the whole romance tourism thing, it actually started from all the way back to the Great Depression, which really shows me how much money is in this country, because basically what you have is 85% of the white women that are going to the islands to pay for sex are already married, they're over 40, and they usually have a 6 or 7 figure income, household income. So what's typically been happening is these women, for whatever reason, are not getting the sexual attention that they need from their husbands. So what he's doing is he's tired of hearing her mouth, so he gives her $20,000 or $30,000 and says, "Get out of my face." So what they've been doing is they've been flying down these islands, and if they're white, they're called milk bottles, looking to be filled up. When they go to, like, for Jamaica, for example, they're calling milk bottles.
All right, the milk bottles. All right, I've never heard that one. Now, my thing. We talk about the relationships, and now we can say that there's two ways. You can say that this is just something that's just a fantasy. It was just something that they just wanted to do. I mean, because you can say there's some people, a group of people who are just adventurous, and if they have the opportunity to fulfill fantasies, whatnot, that's kind of how that goes down. And then we have those other individuals who you're speaking to, who their life is, and so they go looking at the milk bottles, as you call them, to be filled up. And it's not necessarily filled up with milk, but mental, you know, just some mental memory, you know, experiences. It's sort of like people who do drugs, whatnot.
Right. And the funny thing that adds to that is that when the women are doing it, their argument is that they're helping out the economy.
I don't think it's by paying for
a weekend with this 18-year-old Jamaican quote-unquote stud who is very relaxed and dances with them on the dance floor and rubs their feet and does things that their husband would never think of doing.
Well, I think part of that is the whole fantasy. I think for the most part, and this is my humble opinion, that a lot of the people, when you go on vacation and whatnot, you're out there to enjoy yourself. If you're a single person going on vacation, it's like, whatever happens, happens. We know women, for the most part, they can go out there and do whatever, and it stays there. You know,
it's the Vegas mindset. What happens there stays there.
Exactly. You know, because obviously, as we know, in this country in particular, in most Western countries, women, if they engage in said behavior, there's something wrong with them. But men, we can do it, and we just get high five, like, yeah, good job.
Yeah, we get the notch on the belt, you know, so to speak,
right.
You know, because there are several websites that are catered for men to do this. For example, there's the World Sex Archives. There's a website called Horist.com. There's Traveling Single Male. These are basically websites made for men, designed by men, that are global databases on where and how to get laid globally.
Well, you know what? that sounds all good and fine, but I have one issue. I just think that there's my problem. I love the internet. Obviously, I'm an online radio talk show host, but I just think that people are starting to lose the ability to talk to people face to face. And I think that if you have to get hooked up that way, you just can't like talk to people.
Well, it's like the mail order brides. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I'm just not feeling that.
Well, the majority of people are, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's psychological or genetic or whatever the case may be, but they are uncomfortable meeting new people, especially if that could potentially be a love interest.
Well, I mean, I think that's just regular life. I mean, you know, just talking to people, it sounds easy, but doesn't necessarily make it easy. I think I'm nervous whether I meet somebody new or about to talk to somebody new on. It's just that bundle of energy. Now, I want to make it clear that I'm not against internet dating, whatever. I mean, if you get to know the person, whatnot, hey, whatever goes. I mean, it's part of technology, whatnot. I just think that people are two different ways. You know, there's that internet persona, and then there's your real life, and you're not that person. And I think that's where the disconnect is for me.
Yeah. Well, it's the whole put up a front so that you don't get rejected or you know, that kind of thing. It's the people have this fear of rejection for whatever reason. You know, they can't have somebody hot tell them no. It drives people crazy. I don't get it. You know, it's like, well, move on to the next one. She ain't the only one. It's,
right.
Shit, America. More women in the country than men.
Yeah.
Right here in Arizona, it's 10 women to one man. So, I mean, you know.
Right.
You got 9 more to go.
Right. Well, I mean, but see, that's the whole issue. I think part of it is people can't take rejection. I mean, we know the stalker, how many stalker incidents we hear about all the time. I mean, it's funny, but it's not funny. Because it's so prevalent that it's like, oh, yeah, another stalker incident. I don't understand that rejection. I can't take rejection either. I've always wondered, what is the psychosis behind I can't take no and move on?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and I think that's where, you know, you hear a lot of the arguments and frustration that people say, oh, well, you know, they get 6 or 8 months in and they feel like the person has lied to them the entire time. Well, what's happened is they put up a wall to prevent you from hurting them. And then as they got to know you, that wall slowly deteriorated and the real person came out and you didn't like what you saw.
Right. Well, that's the whole, you keep meeting the representative and not the real person.
Yes.
Once we get the real people out there.
Not the owner.
Right.
And it goes to the internet. I mean, people have their own aliases, and they have all this stuff on their profile pics and pages. Like a lot of women, they'll post, you know, it's like red flag season. They got all face pics, and that's it. Or they got, like, Bugs Bunny, or they got, like, this a wolf or this other shit on their page that's their profile pic. You might want to keep your distance a little bit.
Yeah, why you say that?
Well, because there's something that they're hiding. If there's only facial pics, 9 times out of 10, they usually, you know, take it in a snicker, you know, which some people like. No, nothing really wrong with it, but, you know, they're hiding something.
Well,
you know, or they got the poses, like the high school pose. My favorite one that kills me is the one where you lean up against the wall and turn to the side like they're a model or something. I mean, you just look a hot mess. I mean, that's you know, but it's like a 15-year-old picture.
Well, here's my thing. I think also what happens, going back to what we were talking about in the contradiction, now, if you're a woman and you put out pictures that are revealing of your body and whatnot, people come at you a certain way. So a lot of them choose to throw up facial pics or these special poses because it's about putting out what you think people want to see as opposed to being comfortable being who they actually are.
Right, but then they get all pissy when people come at them for sex only. It's like, wait a minute, that comes with the territory. If you're going to dress provocatively, society as a whole currently believes that a woman who reveals her body parts is looking for sex or wants to advertise that she's sexual, even if she really isn't. I mean, there's the flip side. You know, they always say if you got it, flaunt it, but that comes with a certain amount of expectation that you have to deal with because,
well,
if you walk around with a mini skirt on and no drawers and it's tight as hell with some high heel pumps, people are going to look and they're going to automatically assume that you have a ho-ish mentality, even though you might be a prominent businesswoman.
Well,
just like that.
We're going to go on break here in a second, but I want to touch on that because I think later on when we come back from the break, I think that there's a flaw in that thinking. We're going to touch on that when we get back. Anyway, this is Nas and Busta Rhymes, Fried Chicken.
Lord, Lord, y'all, what I'm going to do? Lord, Lord, y'all, shit is all true. Fried chicken, fly vixen, give me heart disease, but need you in my kitchen. You a bird, but you ain't a key. Got wings, but you can't fly away from me. Driving in your bucket seats all the way from Kentucky to fuck with me. Look what you done to me, was number one to me. After you shower, you in your gold medal flower. Then you rub your hot oil for about a half an hour. You in your hot tub, I'm looking at you salivating. Dry you off, I got your paper towel waiting. Lay you down cause you're red hot. Louisiana style, you make my head rot. Then I flop to the bed, then flop. When we done, I need rest. Don't know what part of you I love best. Your legs or your breasts. Mrs. Fried Chicken, you gon' be a nigga death. Created by Southern black women to serve master guests. You gon' be a nigga death. Mrs. Fried Chicken, you was my addiction. Dripping with high cholesterol. Like Greece with its falafel, Italian with its tomato pasta. Where roti is to a roster, trapping me. You and your friend mac and cheese, candy ends, collard greens. But you knocking me to my knees is killing me when I miss high. Nothing I need more than a fish fry.
Shit, it tastes good, I can't lie. It's like you walking out the tanning saloon. When I pull you out the oven from baking, I got you on my mind. Rubbing that suntan lotion all up over your body. So amazing how you sparkle when I glaze you, swine. Hey, my pretty ham hock is so feminine. The way you submitted and how you gave me power to massage me, to shower you with lemon water, marinate you in seasoning, dipping you in chowder. Baby, it's like you're at the spa the way you gently lay in the pan while enjoying your buttermilk treatment. I sit and watch the grease sizzle bubble in on your skin. Despite the funny fragrance, still I lick my finger frequent. In any event, I'm reflecting on all the signs that I got, saying that I sit and fuck with you. But the way that you would taste made you hard to resist when I put my mouth on you, but that's another issue. Butterflies up in my stomach when I laid eyes on you, or was it infection manifesting? Confused over the feeling, impatiently eating you, chiquita worm chewing on the wall of my intestine. I'ma eat you till there's nothing left, till my very last breath. You gon' be a nigga death. Despite I prepare it the best, I specialize in cooking swine as a chef. You gon' be a nigga death. Who cares if the swine's mixed with rat, cat, and dog combined? Yes, I'ma eat this shit to death. Ain't that some shit? I'ma eat some shit until what I'm eating kills me. And I choose to do that. Why? Cause that's just what niggas do.
Together you got a smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was Nas and Busta Rhymes, Fried Chicken. Anyway. Back to our conversation here. I'm on the line here. I got my main man, Najeeb Hogan. And we were talking about women, relationships. I mean, you brought up the fact that, you know, women in their profile pics online, different social networks, and how they pose, and if they show a certain amount of pictures, whatnot, that there's a problem. Then you talked about if a woman is too sexy, there's also another problem because they wonder why the men come at them sexually, and there's a problem there. But I have one problem with the fellas that do that, because I feel like, you know, if a woman is proud of being sexy, that doesn't mean that you have to approach her with no class. I mean, sexy is not classy. I think
there is a distinct difference.
Yeah, it's like you said, the businesswoman can be sexy, but that don't mean that you can talk to her any way, you know. And I think that is the attitude that is the problem, you know, because that's the same argument that these guys make, like, well, a woman was so sexy, and that's the reason why these women are getting raped. And no, there's something wrong with the individual, not comparing.
Yeah, not all.
Yeah, I was saying not comparing rape to talking to a woman wrong, but it's like mental rape.
Yeah, similar, because basically what they're saying is that all men, if they see a woman in a tight dress, that we automatically assume she's a stripper or a sex worker or something like that, and so she doesn't demand respect like her mother would if her mother is in a nice, you know, ankle-length dress with a blouse and everything's covered up, you know.
Yeah, I mean, but see, then it's like saying that, okay, me and you, we can't wear something that makes us look sexy, because if it's flip-flop and women were coming at us and demeaning us because we, quote-unquote, looked too sexy, I don't think men would be appreciative of it. Like you say, women were the, quote-unquote, dominant species, and women were attacking men and raping men. You know, some dudes probably like that.
And the rest don't want to admit it if it happened to them, because they, you know, get called a bitch by their homies, you know.
Right. I mean, but you see, once again, when we talk about rape, it's somebody who's coming on to you that you're not for it. Now, say that...
There's no mutual agreement.
Right. Now, let's say a woman comes on to a man because he was sexy and, you know, he wasn't with the mutual agreement, and he was violated. And see, that's where people aren't looking at it from that aspect. That's the perspective.
Yeah, the coin is not equal. It's one-sided.
Right.
In that regard.
Yeah, and I think that's where I think that there's an issue. And that's the issue. I mean, because, hey, I have no problem. Sexy is sexy. If you feel you sexy, and you want to be sexy, that does not mean that I have the right to demean you because you're sexy. That's just stupid.
And that was the response that, what's her name, Dr. Linda Papadopoulos, when she came after Nick Freeman about his comments he made last week about women who dress provocatively victimize men. She came at him. She said, no, that's not how it is. She said, the idea that men are at the mercy of their testosterone and see a woman in a short skirt and think I'm going to go in for the kill is demeaning. It's like saying that we as men aren't capable enough to ascertain for ourselves what we really think or want.
Well, brother, I want to be victimized like that all the time.
You know, I mean, well, it's like I've mentioned to a few women before that came to me with their relationship problems. They said, you know, if we were just sucked, banged, fed, and watered on a regular basis, we wouldn't have any problem with you.
Yeah.
That's really that simple.
Yeah, well, but see, that goes back into the, when you talk relationships, you were talking about how you have to do this and do that to be able to enjoy that. And I,
so in other words, you have several walls to climb over before you can cross the bridge.
Well, and I think for the most part that may not necessarily be unfair, because if both parties are happy with the outcome, but
then the honeymoon begins and lasts a lifetime.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes back to being honest up front from day one. That's people's problem. They can't be honest. I'd say 99% of people out there are not honest about anything.
That's the highest number, man.
And, well, I mean, look at all the relationship problems we got. Some people will blame it on lack of having a devout faith. Some people will blame it on this or that or the other, but it goes back to the person. If they're not being honest with the person they're trying to love, they're not being honest with themselves.
This is the part of the show where we talk about dumbasses and whatnot. I had this one, there's this one teacher, Cheryl Brimble, who gave a female special ed student a vibrator.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Sending her messages and, you know, coming on to her, whatnot. And see, this is the part of the relationships when the relationships get skewed and you have folks who, you know, the honesty. You were talking about the honesty. These are people who aren't honest with themselves. And because society has skewed certain type of relationships, they can't willingly express themselves. I mean, you know, like some people call it a freak, whatnot, but this sounds like an individual who probably, if they just did their thing in the swing club, they probably they can get out their sexual urges and then call it a day, as opposed to, because society has brainwashed them into thinking that, okay, if I want to be like this, there's something wrong with me. And so they'll hide and do deviant behavior and end up preying on someone who is susceptible to what they're trying to do instead of just going and experiencing it with like-minded adults, because there's a shame to it.
Hmm. Well, you know, it's because I think in America, for whatever reason, in America, Canada, and what most of Western Europe, we have detached sexuality from living.
Well,
and so that causes resistance, because as human beings, we're naturally sexual. And so when you remove that or try to restrict it from individuals or groups of individuals, and I think that's where this stuff starts coming up, like the coach that got fired for forcing the girl to perform sex acts on players. I mean, you know, it's just ridiculous.
That I think is a whole different, because as we know, college sports and whatnot, there are a lot of things that people do to recruit, and the sex acts are high up. I mean, there's the money that they give them, and then there's the, hey, you can get the girls. And I think that was probably, I don't know the details on it, but I know it's probably in that ballpark.
Right. Yeah, this one was in Albuquerque, New Mexico. At some middle school, a 14-year-old girl was asked, the coach was arrested for allegedly asking a 14-year-old girl to perform oral sex on players if she wanted to be the team manager.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
the old Southwest. You're no different than South, is it?
Well, I mean, I think that's something that it's not just stuck in the South or the Southwest. That's something that's universal all across. It doesn't get the publicity that I think it should.
Yeah, because what was Cheryl, the Brimble case, was up in what, PA somewhere, Pennsylvania?
Yes, sir.
Outside of Philly or something like that?
Yeah. I mean,
which is odd. That's a rather conservative state, and so if there's stuff going on like that, what else is going on?
Well, I mean, see, that whole conservative and liberal, I just think people, that there's the natural urges that you have. And once again, we go back to what you were talking about, being honest. When people are being honest and saying, okay, this is who I am, you can be honest with who you are and what you are, then, hey, that's what you want to do, then do it. Be honest about it. Don't go in the backwater channels, and then you end up doing something illegal. And that's what I think happens, and I think that's part of that whole Catholic priest and all these other entities that get involved in this, in these illicit affairs, molestations, whatnot, because they're just not honest with themselves and their true feelings.
They're letting their faith block their needs.
Right.
And so what ends up happening, it bottles up, and then it comes out on some, you know, somebody's 10-year-old son, you know, and on Sunday Bible study.
Right. Now, speaking of things being bottled up, yeah, I'll touch on this real quick before we go. There's a player, speaking of New Mexico football player, who was arrested at the San Francisco International Airport because he had the baggy pants, which we know as a U.S. Airways noticed the man's pants was below his buttocks, or as we call it, the ass. And you know the style where these dudes wear the damn drawers hanging out, and everybody's supposed to see it. And he's charged with indecent exposure, inappropriate attire. I mean, that's what it is. I don't understand why people think that that's cool. I don't have a problem with it, actually. It may sound uncool, whatnot, but I'm like, hey, you shouldn't. I don't want to see your draws. Nobody should have to see your draws.
Yeah, it's not a good look. If your belt buckles at your kneecaps, it's not. I mean, unless you're standing up, getting ahead. I mean, other than that, I can't see the reason why the belt buckle should be below your kneecaps. Other than you're trying on some new pants or something like that. But if you're just walking around town, you know, and everybody can see that you got on jockey shorts, I mean, that's not a good look to me.
Right. Yeah, I don't get it. It's a style that I think is one of the dumbest styles on the face of the earth.
Wrench right there with skinny jeans.
Yes. Yes. Tightening your nuts for no reason.
I mean, when you got to roll pants on, that's a little much.
Yeah. Wow.
And so he apparently resisted arrest and all that stuff, so now he's got like a page of charges against him.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's that whole keeping it real going wrong. And all that.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's keeping it real, but it's definitely it's trespassing on U.S. Airways flights for everybody who don't know.
Right. Well, he knows now. If he didn't know before, he knows now. All right. And on that note, oh, man, I want to thank you, Najib, for coming on the show once again. As always,
and
I love having you on, brother.
Yeah, you know, just keeping it real, and do a special shout-out to Shelly because she's my new case study for the other half of my book. But, you know, she's better than him.
All right. Well, once again, we look forward to seeing the book upon completion, and of course, look forward to having you on the show. I'm sure we'll have you back on again. We'll holler.
Always a pleasure.
All right. Thank you, sir. And to everyone else out there, thank you for listening. I'm Nick Hugger, aka Smooth, aka FN word, for Smooth Drama. We out.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.